Got it. Thank you, Rashad. It's a Friday. We're changing up the know-it-all quiz. It's going to be happening at 10:34. You get a chance to get on the phone and talk to Andrew. Patrick's taking a much-needed day off. Important to pace the man, Tom, so he never leaves the show.
That's right.
Taking the day off. Know-it-all quiz happening at 10:34. Please adjust your clocks. Let your friends and family know not to bother you at 10:34. Normally you ask, hey, don't bother me at 11:34 on Friday. I need you just to sort of lay low for a little while as we play the know-it-all quiz. Let's dive in! Did I mention Bucky's? Bucky's Auto Service Center? I don't know if I did or not. I know they've been around for almost 50 years.
Wow, 50.
50, imagine that.
You don't say.
I mean, I wish I had more stuff to say about them. I try to stretch this out as long as I can. Bucky's Auto Service Center. Good people working on your car. You can trust them. They do good work at Bucky's Auto Service Centers. Now, if you happen to move away from the city with the bluest skies you've ever seen, you move somewhere else, I don't know if there's going to be a Bucky's right down the street.
There's a reason to stay.
Dragging the sponsor into the story. Information. The FYI guy put this one together for us, or somebody else filled in the blanks on it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, when you get fed up with Seattle, where do you go? Seattle Times had an editorial from some guy, I think about 6 or 7 days ago, saying, that's it. I'm sick of Seattle. I've lived here for 14 years.
Yeah.
The streets are filthy. It's disgusting. People's cars are being broken into. I'm sick of Seattle. I'm leaving. When people get sick of Seattle, where do they go, Tom?
Well, so it doesn't surprise you. In fact, we probably wouldn't even be doing a story if it was just this answer. Guess what?
What?
When they leave Seattle, we're talking about King County, they go to, wait for it.
Hold on.
Snohomish County.
Okay.
And Pierce County.
Okay. Snohomies and
Pierce County. So in other words, they don't go far.
Wow.
It's like maybe Seattle is getting too expensive, but they're still.
Oh, the story is that they walk there. That's what makes it interesting.
See, that's right.
I'm out of here.
And walking to get to Kitsap County walk on water is not
gotta
that
be committed.
Easy.
You got to be committed.
The idea is it makes sense that you feel like you are connected to this region, even if you can't afford Seattle and or East Side prices. Maybe that's a reason. Or you feel like the homelessness issue or property crimes will be better elsewhere. You might not want to leave Seattle, but for various reasons you end up doing it. So that's not that surprising, I suppose, because they're the nearest by.
Yeah.
What we thought was most interesting in the FYI guys that column was the third biggest county for King County residents leaving King County is Los Angeles County.
That's the shocker.
I don't know. The thing is, maybe it just sort of caught us off guard because that's a long way to walk, as you point out,
yes,
John.
Tom. But if you want higher crime and more homeless and you want to have higher rents,
right.
I can't take Seattle. I want someplace that's dirtier and with more crime and a higher rent because this place is just not testing me enough. I'm going to L.A. and I'm walking there.
You think traffic's bad here? L.A., it's much better. So maybe the people that really like the present-day Seattle are leaving it to get even a better version of it in L.A.
Everything bad we have here, they have bad there 10 times.
Right.
It is
so
nuts.
One of the things about L.A., though, is it's a huge county, and there are a lot of opportunities. It's kind of like New York. A lot of young people feel like, hey, I can launch my career maybe in L.A. and places like New York, so that maybe shouldn't be such a surprise. But we did find it interesting. California, then, not surprisingly, maybe as well, is by far gets the most number of people in terms of states. Oregon second, and then Arizona third.
Mm-hmm.
Again, staying on the West Coast, sort of, or on the west part of the United States, at least. And those other two places are California and Arizona, at least, are sunnier than ours are. One of the things they talk about the biggest influx. There's still more people coming into King County than leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But the FYI guy says the problem is that things might be changing the last couple of years. The latest numbers they have are like 2015, 2016. So things might be changing. They just can't do these census things quick enough. These studies quickly enough to know for sure right now. But the overall thrust is there are more millennials moving to King County than ever before, but also they're the highest group leaving King County.
Yeah.
So that might talk about the nomadic nature of millennial generation, that they swoop in, they may get what they want, and then they may swoop out. Maybe they are the ones going to L.A. Maybe they're the ones that are heading to the Bay Area.
Should we check with a millennial?
Let's keep a millennial
in a closet, and we ask him questions about millennials whenever we need it, and then we close the closet door.
Perfect. How did I forget?
Andrew, millennial.
Yes.
If you could move anywhere, would you move to L.A. County, Snohomish, or Pierce County?
I wouldn't go to California, first off.
Okay.
Between Snohomish and Pierce, I guess I'd go Pierce.
Wow, exciting.
Okay. That's why I forgot about him. I forgot about our millennial in the closet.
Okay, I gotta ask you one more question.
Oh, okay.
Millennial, are
Come
you
on
there?
Back.
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay.
If you could go anywhere, not Pierce or Snohomish or L.A. County, if you could go anywhere, move anywhere, where would it be?
If I could move anywhere,
yes, yes.
In the country or the world?
In the country.
I haven't really thought about it.
All right.
Moving on. 6 months from now, we'll remember that we have a millennial in the closet and try again.
Oh, it comes to biking. I like the fact that Portland has decided to go all in. So what Portland has decided is that all construction, anytime you put a road down, you've got to follow the federal rules and regulations regarding bike lanes. And they said in every single budget, it's not going to be anything that's going to be brought. There's no amendments on this. We are just going to be completely and absolutely committed to bike lanes. That's Portland's decision.
Is that right? Because they don't even make the list of the 10 best cities for biking, but maybe they
make,
want to...
Which one do you have?
Oh, yeah. No, okay. Sorry.
I got them at number one.
No. They're number four.
Who do you have? What's your latest?
Fort Collins, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
Wausau, Wisconsin. Boulder, Colorado. The Colorados don't surprise me. And then Portland, Oregon. I didn't see that.
Okay. So, I got the cities with the most likely bike commuters, and this is from 2017. Portland, number one. San Francisco, number two. San Jose, Sacramento, New Orleans, and then Seattle. And the total number of commuters, and they consider you a bike commuter if you commute once a week, and the total amount is 1.1% of commuters are on their bikes in Seattle.
Okay, so yeah, in this chart, this is the overall city accommodations for bikers, and Fort Collins wants to be number one. But anyway, so John, what are the differences between Seattle and Portland in terms of biking? I mean, they do have the waterways in Portland,
yes.
But it's not as hilly as Seattle. I'm assuming. I'm just trying to think of why Portland would have a jump on, say, Seattle. Is it the geography?
It could possibly be the geography. Plus, also, they have more safe bike lanes than Seattle at this point. Also, they have a younger demographic, and they also have more men than women possibly in the workforce that are living closer to the home. Because there's a difference in how many women ride bikes to work and how many men ride bikes to work. And the age of the average rider is anywhere between the age of 18 and 24. So as you get older, and if you're female, you're less likely to be on a bike.
That's
what they sort of found in the city.
Yeah.
The question is always, you and I have discussed this numerous times, it's the carrot or the chicken or the egg.
Right.
If we build the bike lanes, will they come?
Yeah.
If we spend the $12 million for a mile's worth of bike lane, or $400,000, or $800,000, or just millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, will we go from 1% of commuters on bikes to 5%? And will that be the best place to spend that money?
So let's leave the best place to spend the money aside. Just what kind of availability or interest do people have in bikes? So we have the first 6 months of the bike share bikes, the new ones, not the Pronto ones, but the ones that are backed by private industry. We've just come out. The bikes were used nearly 2,600 times on an average day. 2,600 times. That seems like a pretty good number. 2,600 times. But in terms
out of what, 700,000 people?
Yes.
Okay.
But I mean, again. If these people, the question is, if these people weren't riding the bikes, what would they be doing? I'm a little surprised, just in 6 months, because what happened in those 6 months, half of that was winter. This goes up through December.
Uh-huh.
And so half of that time, the average of those 6 months, which is part sunny and part crappy,
yeah.
That the bikes themselves were used under one time a day for all the bikes that were available. Now, the question is, what will happen now when we get a full calendar year? But the idea is, right now, are they more trouble than they're worth? I think that the usage is pretty good for the first 6 months. And they said there was a limited number of bikes. There were only 500 bikes per company at the time. Now it's unlimited and they're expensive.
May I quibble?
It's expansive. Yes.
May I quibble?
Quibble away.
Quibbling. 2,600. Is that original riders or is that Bob gets on the bike with the app and rides it for 5 minutes, stops, and then gets back on the bike later on? Does the app?
That's too deep a dive.
I want to know.
2,600 times on an average day. So 2,600 trips
on
an average day. But you're thinking of, that could be like one guy making five pit stops.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's all.
Okay.
And then you wonder how many people are actually riding the bike. That's
but each,
all.
And at each of those pit stops, he's doing business, I assume. And so maybe, I mean, the idea is that how would he be getting to where these places are without the bikes?
Yeah.
And they say now that they have as many as they want, they'll get a better read. And we're coming into the spring and summer arena. We're in the midst of the spring arena right now. You know, will those numbers increase? Right now, I think this seems more optimistic than not. The biggest problem I think that people have with the bikes is, are they left in bad spots?
Uh-huh.
We were the first in the nation to actually go dockless when it comes to bikes. And they say that they're over 50% of them are put properly the way they're supposed to. 15 to 20% of the bikes are parked incorrectly but don't cause an issue. And 5% do cause a problem, blocking curb ramps, impeding access. So 70 or 80% park it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the people that gripe about it, I hear, are, oh, they're left willy-nilly. If it's an aesthetic concern, that applies to about 15 to 20% of them. If it's an actual danger or impediment, that's only 5%. I don't know if things could go up or down, but that's the results of the latest.
Can you have a business that only has 2,600 customers a day?
Well, I mean,
it's divided over three, right?
Yeah,
it's divided
three
over
companies,
three different companies.
Mostly two. I think Spin is backing off. But yeah, you have three companies.
And that's they're each paying like $1 or $2.
It's a buck a trip. Yeah.
Wow.
And then you have times a day, though.
How many times?
2,600 a day.
Yeah.
That to me is a higher number than I expected.
Okay, let's assume each trip is $1.
Yeah.
$2,600.
A day, though.
Yeah, I got it. A day divided by two. Right?
Yeah,
so $1,300 a day for the business. I'll tell you, if you had a business in Seattle and you were only making $1,300 at the end of the day in the cash register, you'd say, this is not worth it.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what their costs are. I know homeless people love these bikes because they can break the thing on the back and ride them around as much as they want. I talked to a friend of mine as a police officer.
Uh-huh.
He told me, I said, man, it's interesting to see all the crackheads riding around on bikes. And he goes, yeah, well, they break them. We report to the people that have the bikes that, hey, there's people stealing your bikes or your bikes are being thrown in the water. What would you like us to do about it? And their attitude is like, we don't care.
Well, it's a sunken cost. Literally.
Literally sunken. Tom.
Well, the thing is, I've never seen a crackhead on a bike. Where are
you? By the way, here's what's happened. They've cleaned up your bus stops to the point that you are now living in some sort of weird cocoon. Crackheads on bikes.
Third Pine is not a cocoon. That is the heart of hell.
You haven't seen them
Seattle.
In the Seafair parades, crackheads on bikes? And here come the crackheads on bikes.
A little wobbly.
That's right. They're riding stolen bikes. Let's hear it for the crackheads on bikes.
Okay.
Let's hear it for the Washington Redskins. I like the fact that, are they now referring to them as Redskins again, used to, rather than Washington's team? Have we given up on that political correctness?
No. I mean, there are some, I think the Ron and Don show refused to mention the moniker Redskins.
Okay.
A number of high-level Peter King, I think, is a sports columnist, refused to mention it. Believe me, the owner of the Redskins is proudly embracing the Redskins.
Right.
They haven't gone the way of the Cleveland Indians.
Got it. The reason they're in the news is because a story has come out regarding how the cheerleaders are used to sort of extracurricular activities. They're not cheering on the field. They may be cheering the fact that they don't have to wear a top, but they're not cheering that, and they get their photos taken as well. And do they go on particular parties to sort of entertain highfalutin guests? And are they almost, in a way, is it close to prostitution?
These are the accusations. Where it stops short of prostitution, at least according to the accusations, is there's no actual sex. There may be groping, but there's no sex and penetration kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just uncomfortable situations where they are, and they feel like these Redskins cheerleaders have talked about the fact that they are sort of like expected to go out and entertain various sponsors, and they cite a number of instances. There was a photo shoot in Costa Rica in 2013 where they went, and they felt like they were being forced to, you know, take their tops off and have a photo shoot with that, even though none of those the topless shots were going to be in the Sports Illustrated or whatever the photo shoot was for, but they had to do it. And what they didn't realize, because they were flown to, you know, some you know, a abandoned beach or whatever where they had these done, that there were a lot of men around. Who are these men? They're the sponsors of various Washington Redskins groups or, you know, I don't know what you'd call them, supporters of the team, you know. And so they just felt like it was sort of an uncomfortable situation. And then afterwards, there were 36 of them, and like 9 of them were picked out, they say, by the gentlemen who had been ogling them all afternoon to go out and you know, and go to nightclubs and sort of like they were act as escorts. And they just said that the whole thing just felt very sleazy. And they said that this happens more often than not. The reason this is now getting the news is because there is a recent 2 former cheerleaders have filed discrimination suits against them, that they feel like they're being dangled as sex objects for the titillation of men, and that is not a safe workplace.
Aren't they titillating men during a football game? Isn't that what their purpose is?
I would certainly see that as a reason to banish all cheerleaders, because they're not trying to do that, I suspect. But it's
you would banish the cheerleaders. You'd get rid of the seagulls.
Yes, I would. A lot of sports fans I know think that cheerleading at the professional level is ridiculous and embarrassing and a distraction. Now, I understand that a lot of people,
it's
especially
supposed to be a distraction.
Yeah, I know. And if you're, that's what I said, sports fans.
Oh, okay.
If you're looking for distraction, if you're already bored and you find looking at a half naked woman dancing from 50 to 100 yards away. Right. No, that feels like
that's why you bring binoculars. Let me tell you this.
So you're making light of this story. It's a very serious story.
I understand
story,
that story. Okay. I'm just going to go change this topic over to are cheerleaders necessary or not? Just
say
Mike
good.
Salk brought up.
That's right.
And my point is that the entertainment value of a professional football game while you're in the stands after paying $300 or $1,000 for a ticket is about 3 on a scale of 1 to 10.
No.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
You don't go to the games. I go to the games.
I know.
I sit there, and there's you get 3 minutes of play, right? Okay. And then all of a sudden, they go to a TV timeout, and then, ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the 40-yard line as little Bobby Philippine, a fourth grader from Englemore Elementary School, displays his science fair project.
Yeah,
it's Abraham
Bobby.
Lincoln's house made out of popsicle sticks. Give it up for Bobby Pinnafield, right? And you're like, you know what? I don't care about that kid. If you're in Section 113, everybody in Section 113 gets a bag of Doritos and a haircut. You're like, I don't want a haircut.
Okay.
It's so, not entertaining.
So you
show
rather
me
drool
women jumping
over a
I'm
beautiful woman 50 yards away?
I'd rather look at them than little fourth grade through
Why?
Bobby
What's
Phillippe.
Wrong with you?
Tom, the entertainment.
You're there for football. I knew you weren't a football
fan.
The
NFL uses us as like extras during the game. Screaming and yelling and cheering and cutaways of us.
So
when they're not on us and they're at some TV timeout, it's nothing to do. It's totally boring.
So you want, ladies and gentlemen, look at these beautiful women scantily clad. You prefer
they don't have
that?
To mention scantily. It's obvious that they're scantily clad. Ladies and gentlemen, please direct your attention to the 40-yard line and say hello to your seagulls. That's a big part of the game. Nothing wrong with that.
It's not a big part of the game, and I have nothing against the
seagulls.
Be bigger. I have something against people like you ogling them.
Yeah, you would rather have Bobby Pettifield out there.
What?
A Philippine. Bobby Philippine. He's in fourth grade. I wrote it down his
That's
name.
Slip of the tongue.
Whoopsie.
You're going to get out of here.
1-888-9. You know what we should do?
Yeah.
Let's find the Know-It-All quiz.
Hey, there's
Know-It-All quiz brought to you by Muckleshoot Bingo. If you win 2 tickets, Aida. That's right. It is Verde's powerful translated human emotions into magnificent music. You can find tickets by going to seattleopera.org to get tickets if you don't win them. But you're going to win them. You know you will. 1-888-973-5476. 1-888-973-5476. Get on the phone to get on the line to get on the air and win those tickets. 1-888-973-5476. Playing the Know-It-All quiz. Let's have a rock party. Thanks, Muckleshoot Bingo, for sponsoring the Know-It-All quiz, which we moved up 1 hour. Hopefully, we've got a good contestant time, because normally we do this at 11:34, and you get a chance to win tickets, in this particular case, to Aida. That's right, Verdi's powerful translation of human emotions into magnificent music. You can find tickets by going to seattleopera.org, where you can win them right now. Let's find out who's about to win them!
Hey.
Yeah! Oh, hey, here comes our contestant. Her name is Diane. She's near Sammamish. She's a school bus driver. She can't listen to Cairo on the bus, because the kids start arguing too much and it just gets too loud. Diane, Tom and I read this, and we have a question for you.
Lay it on me.
So do they? Are the kids listening to Tom and myself, and then the kids hear the topics, and then they engage and start arguing, or they're just arguing just to argue?
No, they're not really arguing. They just, when the radio's on, they just get louder and louder, and then it's just unbearable. So we don't let them listen.
Okay.
Oh,
so
I see.
So it's not because we stimulate conversation.
No.
They're trying to drown us out.
I see. So you have it on in the car. You got it on the bus, and you decided. So
yes.
Now, what have you done to fill your life between 9 and noon when you can't listen to the Tom and Curly Show?
Well, I go to the gym, and okay. I come home, and I goof off.
Yeah,
see. The idea, John, is though they're not going to school. By 9 o'clock, they're already in school. So the bus drivers could be able to listen to everything and anything.
I know, but Tom, she's missing like a prime part of the. She's driving and she doesn't have the Tom and Curly Show in her life. And so obviously she's just sort of filling it with empty activities to try to make herself feel better.
Oh brother.
All right,
you sound
Diane.
Like a fellow Sammamishite.
All right, are you ready to go? By the way, let me ask you something, my fellow Sammamishites up there. Do people respect your little yellow, your little red stop sign and your flashing lights, or do they drive around you and go through that? Have you noticed?
I'd say 98% of the people respect it, and then there's that 2% that just blasts right through.
Yeah. Terrible. All right, Diane, get ready. The tone and tenor of everything established. We call it a friendship because that's how friendships are nowadays. They can last
shallow and quick.
3 minutes. Here we go. Answer how many right, Tom?
Let's go for 5.
Whoa! Diane, this is unfair. We've never had the bar raised this high. You ready?
Yeah.
A restaurant inside a Whole Foods got attention on the national media this week. People are upset with the name of the place. They say that it's offensive and borderline racist. What is the name of the restaurant, Tom?
A. White Trash Willie's Home of the Gigantic Corn Dog. B. Uncle Remus's Blackface Cafe. Or C. Yellow Fever.
C.
What was that? Hang on. What is that noise? Oh, here we go. There we go. Got it. Thank you. That's the wrong sound. According to the foreshadowing.
She is one for one, John.
Thank you, Tom.
On her way to 5 for 5.
Diane, you're not driving right now. Where are you?
Yeah, I am. I'm driving with one finger. Just kidding.
All right, here we go. According to Shaquille O'Neal, the best way to save money on gas in your car is to do what, Tom?
A. Reduce any unnecessary and additional weight in the vehicle. Remove the back seat and replace it with a plywood bench. This will reduce the overall weight of the car by 37 pounds. According to Shaq, hardly anyone ever sits back there anyway. B. Only fill the car with $20 every time you get to a half-full tank.
Yeah.
C. When the light changes at an intersection, put the car in neutral and with your left leg out the door, push the car to get started, then shift into gear. Shaquille calls this the Fred Flintstone's start.
This is Shaq talking?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Well, I don't know this one. I'm going to go with C.
How about B?
Oh, crap.
Okay. Watch your language.
2 for 2.
You use that language when you're driving the bus, Diane? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. You crappy kids, sit down. Here we go. 3. A new app you can download on your phone that claims to reduce the confusion regarding consent for sexual activities. Tom, how does it work?
A. One party types what they want to do. The other party receives the request and must read it out loud, and then pushes the consent button on the screen. Within minutes, a URL code appears. At this point, the two parties must both hold both phones up in the air to have the codes read, and matched. A binging sound will let the couple know if it is safe to proceed. It's that simple.
Yes. Oh, romance.
B. The man sends a photo of himself without pants on. C. A couple creates two avatars of themselves, and the two small cartoonish figures begin to mate. One party can stop them from having sex just by simply pushing the stop button or by throwing up. It's that simple.
Oh, my God. This is horrid. I'm going to guess A.
You are correct, and it is horrid. All right. At a fairly unruly town hall in Seattle, residents got a chance to unload on elected officials regarding their failed homelessness and tax policies in order to get the speaker to stop talking after the allotted 1 minute of time. What sound would be played over loudspeakers, Tom?
A. B.
That's nails on a chalkboard. Good God.
And C.
See what?
Oh, you want me to read it?
Read it, yeah. I'll play it for you.
Mike O'Brien and Ed Murray singing, Baby, You Can Drive My Car.
Baby, You Can Drive My Car.
All right.
Baby, you can drive my car.
Yes, I'm going to be a star.
And as you can see, now...
The kid, I'm singing and nails on a chalkboard.
All right. The answer
okay,
is...
I heard that one.
What's the answer?
She said A.
It's A.
All right. Here we go. She's doing pretty well.
Yeah. And so are we.
Diane, here we go. There are millions of senior citizens who are growing alone and old in China. In order to ensure he's surrounded by other people during his golden years, one creative Chinese man did what, Tom?
A. Robbed a bank, then waited for police to arrive so he could be arrested and spend the rest of his life in jail where he could have free meals, health care, and plenty of company.
Mm-hmm.
B. Put himself up for adoption. C. Applied for a visa to the United States so he could come live on the streets of Seattle, where he'll have plenty of freeloaders to commiserate with and access all the free blankets, socks, sandwiches, and social services he likes.
I'm gonna guess on this one. I'm gonna say B.
Yes, Diane, congratulations.
I told you,
bus driver
five. From Sammamish, way to go. All right, Diane, you're gonna find yourself at the Seattle Opera enjoying one of Tom's favorite operas, Aida.
Aida. Verdi.
Yes,
it's a classic.
Take the kids in the bus, get a field trip, get them to get a parent permission form and a sack lunch with an apple in it that rolls down the front of the aisle. Diane, have yourself a fabulous weekend. Congratulations, you are a know-it-all winner.
Thank you.
All right, and thanks for listening to the show.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, there she goes. All right, down the door. All righty, Mike Lewis steps in. I've got some personal business to take care of. So, Tom, you and Mike are on your own. So, liberals, get ready to really enjoy the show.
And people who like movies. John normally walks out of my movie review. This time, he's leaving the building. I'm touched,
but I've
John.
I've read about Tully.
I'm touched. Oh,
in the Wall Street Journal. I may see this one.
Oh, son of a gun.
I may see this.
He just won't listen to my review.
We'll come right back. Tom and Curly Show right after this.
Welcome back to the Tom and Curly Show. As you heard just before the last break, John has had to dash off. Nonetheless, we will carry on as best we can with some guy named Mike. What's your last name again? Lewis. Very good. Yeah. Red button, as John always says. Well, we appreciate you filling in, Mike. And I think you have the most important announcement of the day right now.
Indeed, I do. Tom Tagney's movie review. And it's brought to you by the Nisqually Red Wind Casino.
This is such a popular segment that John not only leaves the studio today, he left the building. That's how we set this up. And I do have a pretty good movie. I was caught off guard by how good it was, actually. And it's all about night nannies. Now, Mike, I don't know how familiar you are with night nannies, but to me, it's a relatively new social phenomenon. But they're apparently popular enough these days to have caught the attention of Hollywood. And so we have this new film called Tully, which happens to be written by Diablo Cody, who won an Oscar for Juno. And it explores the impact a night nanny has on one particularly exhausted mother of three. Charlize Theron plays Marlo, a 30-something mom to a perky 8-year-old daughter, a younger son with some developmental difficulties, and a brand new newborn. Now, she regrets, given all her kids, that she can't be a super mom. Like just about every mom I know feels, someone who organizes class parties and makes great cupcakes. Why can't she do that? Because she's just too blame tired all the time. So, despite her obvious fatigue, though, Marla's not exactly thrilled when her wealthy brother offers to pay for some help.
Do you know what a night nanny is? They take care of the baby at night so mom and dad can get some sleep.
I don't want a stranger in my house. It's like a Lifetime movie where the nanny tries to kill the family and the mom survives and she has to walk with a cane at the end.
Get over yourself.
Now, Marlo eventually does get over herself after a funny, frantic montage of her putting the baby to bed, then going to bed herself, then getting up with the baby, changing the diapers, feeding the baby, going back to bed, getting up, changing diapers, feeding the baby, repeat, repeat, repeat. And she catches herself screaming at her son's principal one day. She finally succumbs to the allure of a night nanny. The nanny, named Tully, is a 20-something who seems to work miracles for her. She not only lets Marlo get a good night's sleep, she also cleans up their messy house, even makes those great cupcakes, all while Marlo's deep sleeping. Now, Tully also becomes Marlo's confidant.
Your 20s are great, but then your 30s come around the corner like a garbage truck at 5 a.m. Girls kill.
No, we don't. We might look like we're all better, but if you look close, we're covered in concealer.
Now, the first two-thirds of Tully offers a knowing and funny take on the downside of young motherhood. Their own performance nails the weariness and the wistfulness of new mothers. A dramatic and unexpected turn late in the film changes the overall tone, however, and forces a reevaluation of everything that's just transpired. It's meant to deepen the film, but it also limits its scope to some degree. No matter, Tully remains a smart and sympathetic portrait of the strains and stresses of young motherhood. It just might make for a nice early Mother's Day treat, too. This is a movie that caught me off guard, and I thought, it reminded me of the days 30 years ago when I was raising, young kids. And it made me personally, Mike, feel a little guilty that I should have helped out my wife even more than I did. Not to say I didn't do anything, but not nearly enough. I think it's a really sympathetic portrait of how tough it is to be a new mom.
That guilt is just now visiting you? How old are your kids?
It's been simmering. I mean, they're in their late 20s. I've got one that's just cleared 30. But the idea is, I think it feels like yesterday that we were, going through those, sleepless nights and really hard times. And I think it's great to sort of see it portrayed. Again, I don't want to give too much away, but a turn near the end. But still, what I'm taking away from it is how tough it is in those early stages. I mean, how exhausted you are. Maybe not how tough, but how exhausted you often are. I was talking to somebody, I don't know if I should mention who it is, so I'll just say it's someone in the newsroom, who is in a similar situation. She has a number of kids. And she says, that's the last thing I want to do, Tom, on a Mother's Day weekend, for instance, or any other weekend, go revisit the days that I'm already still living. So I don't know who the appeal is. I'm not sure a lot of guys will, be rushing to this. But I do think that it really shows you the, I mean, I think what it is, it's a non-condemning way to look at women who feel like they're not doing enough.
Well, it's actually makes a lot of sense that this would be a movie that Hollywood would do, because it probably is in their personal lives, since they're sort of at a higher income level.
Yes.
This would be in their personal lives in a way that it wouldn't be in the average person's.
Exactly. And I think it's important that they establish that she can't afford to do this, but she has a wealthy older brother who pays for it. Okay, that'll be it. Coming up, we have one more great hour of the Tom and Curley Show coming up next.